Marriage Today presents Battlefield Golgotha, Winning the War of Your Mind by Jimmy Evans.
Now, I want you to know that this message comes from this booklet called A Mindset Free. And so after the service, if you want to get it, you can get it. But it embodies the message that I'm bringing today, and it has some elements I'll tell you about in just a minute that actually I'm not going to be able to get to in this message. But this is a good book to help you with the issue of your thought life. This message is called Battlefield Golgotha, Winning the War of the Mind. Now, stay there in 2 Corinthians, if you would. This is John 19. It says, "And he," Jesus, "bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull," which is in Hebrew called Golgotha, "where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center." Now, this is a picture you don't see very often, but Karen and I have been to Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And when you look directly north from the Temple Mount, there's Golgotha, and it's eerie. It looks like a human skull. Even today, it still looks like a human skull. If you could have seen Jesus Christ on the cross when he was being crucified, you wouldn't have just seen a cross in the ground like we see portrayed so often. It was a cross in the top of a human skull. And when they pierced him in the side, and it said the blood and water flowed, that blood and water flowed from his side onto the top of a human skull. And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When Satan came to corrupt mankind, his first words to us were, "Has God surely said?" Questioning the Word of God in introducing deceiving thoughts into our minds, that if we rebelled, there would be no punishment for it, that God was a big bully and he was trying to mistreat us. And when Adam and Eve rejected the truth of the Word of God and they believed the lies the devil was telling them, that was the fall of mankind. But understand, they didn't just die spiritually, they were corrupted mentally. I want you to understand something. This is amazing hardware. There will never be a computer invented that can do what the human mind can do. This is amazing hardware, but the software has been corrupted. And because the software has been corrupted, we have to be renewed in our minds before our lives are the way that God wants them to be. Now understand this, when you get saved, when Jesus comes into your heart and saves you, it means your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven and Jesus is on your heart. But did you know that doesn't mean he's in your head? When I got saved at 19 years old and gave my life to Jesus, Jesus came into my life and I got radically saved, but my mind was filled with corrupted thoughts. You can think of it like a beachhead, like the Normandy invasion during World War II. When Jesus comes into your life, it's like a beachhead that God establishes in your life, and from there, he will redeem all of you if you will let him. But all redemption, all of the activity of God in our life is appropriated by faith as we allow him. There are some people that get saved and they become extremely mature in God within a matter of 3 or 4 or 5 years, extremely mature. There are other people that get saved and 40 years later, they're just as immature as they ever were because Jesus came into their hearts, but it never affected their heads. The beachhead, there was never any progress after the beachhead because they just stopped for whatever reason. But I want you to understand this. Jesus didn't just save us so we could go to heaven. Jesus saved us so we could live victoriously in this life. But the human mind has been corrupted. When Jesus died for us on Golgotha, he died for us to set our souls free and to redeem the human mind to live for God. And that's what I want to talk about in this message. And I want to talk about several things very quickly. And the first is understanding the mind is the main battlefield of good and evil. And I want to make a statement to you, and that is for the rest of your life, you'll be battling the devil in the area of your mind. The good news is you can overcome him every single time, and it's not that hard. But you have to know how. And here's what 2 Corinthians 10 says. Though we war in the flesh or walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, let me talk through this real quickly, because this is talking about a siege against our minds. Literally, there is a siege against our minds. But can we just all admit that we have struggles every day? I'm telling you, I have struggles every day. There's not a day in my life that I don't have struggles, and that's because there's an evil devil who hates me. I figured that out a few years ago. For some reason, he hates me. But can I tell you that he hates you too? And he wants to come, and if you're a saved person, he wants to hold you in bondage or to take you back into mental bondage. If you're not a saved person, he wants to keep you unsaved. And the constant siege is against our minds. Let me just talk about some of the words that the Apostle Paul uses here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The word stronghold there is the word akeroma in the Greek language, and it means three things, and it's very interesting. First thing it means is a fortress. Like they would have an acropolis in cities like Corinth. They would go to the high place of the city and they would build a stronghold so that when they were under siege by an enemy, everyone could run there. That's what this word means. It's the first meaning of the word. It means a military stronghold. The second thing it means is prison or a place of bondage. The third meaning of the word is tomb or a place of death. Now, I want you to listen. I told you my story when I preached that series back in the wintertime on the Hurt Pocket. I told you my testimony about the hurts that I accumulated early in my life and how when I was in the ninth grade, I just changed. I became hurt, and three things happened. I became rebellious and very arrogant, that I became very sinful and immoral. And I also, at that point in time, you know, just because of the level of hurt in my life, became hateful and dominant. I began to let hate take over in my life. And here's what I thought. I thought those things would make me safe. I felt like because of my innocence and my naivety before then, I had been hurt because of that. But now I was going to create a fortress out of rebellion and a fortress out of immorality where I could get the pleasure I wanted and get what I wanted in life, and a fortress out of unforgiveness and bitterness. It was just going to be my safe place and my strong place. Here's what I found out. That fortress became a prison, and then it became a tomb. The devil comes into our lives to convince us that there is going to be a high place of safety through all these means, through all the ways that he deceives us. And when we run in, let our minds, when we let our thoughts run into that fortress, that high place in our minds, it becomes a prison that kills us. I want to give you good news. God has a way to tear that stronghold down and set us free. And it's the truth of his word. And it says, the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for pulling down, akeroma, fortresses, prisons, tombs within our minds, casting down arguments. It just means everything that argues with the word of God. Logismos is the word. Everything that argues against the word of God, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, every arrogant thought, every lofty thought in our minds, every worldly thought that argues against Jesus, the weapons of the warfare that God gives us will tear all those things down so that we can be free to live like the way God wants us to live. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. And I want to say this. We are the doorkeepers of our minds and no one else is. God doesn't control our thoughts. We're free people. The devil does not control our thoughts. Even if we're in bondage, even if we're doing things wrong and we have strongholds, no one controls our thoughts. We are the gatekeepers of our minds, and we make a decision about every thought that comes into our mind. When it says here, taking every thought into captivity, any thought that you don't take captive will take you captive. Francis Frangipane says, a bondage is a house of thoughts. You look at anything in your life, physical bondage, sexual bondage, whatever bondage it might be, it is always a house of thoughts. If you don't deal with the thought system around that problem, it will never change. You can do anything physically you want to do. It won't change until the thought system around that thing changes. By the way, when it says taking every thought into captivity, the word captivity means to take by spear point. It means to go to an enemy And let me say this, every thought that the devil introduces into our minds is an enemy of us and God. And this is not a friendly word. When it says taking every thought captive, it means taking by spear point. You say, what's the spear? Right here, the sword of the Spirit. By spear point, we go to the devil and we put the word of God against his neck and say, that thought does not agree with God. You're getting out of my brain. Hupakoe is the word here. It says taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's the word hupakoe, obedience, and it means to listen under. And literally, it means this. We scrutinize every thought in our lives, making sure that it's in agreement with the word of God. And every thought in our minds has to listen under Lord Jesus. In other words, we don't allow thoughts in our mind to stand and to sass God. And you have this thought in your mind that says, well, you know, the Bible was written, but it is told by people. And maybe, you know, maybe somebody got something wrong and it's just kind of a fable, just like everything else. And I know what the Bible says about this, but you know, everybody's doing it and this and this and this. That is a rogue thought that is holding you captive. And the responsibility of every believer is to take the Word of God and to read it. And when there is an argument in our mind, let me say this. When your mind argues against the Word of God, God doesn't have a problem, you got a problem. And whatever it is in your mind that is arguing against the Word of God, your responsibility is to take that thought captive and to force it to listen to Jesus. I don't care what you're saying. I don't care how long you've been there. I don't care if every generation of my family thought this way. I don't care. The only thing I care about is I want to download new software into the hardware so I can live the way I'm supposed to live. This is the new software. Hey, let me say it another way. If the old way's working for you, then don't mess with it. Don't listen to me. But if it ain't working for you, try something new. Get new thoughts into your head. Make these old thoughts that have been running you down the wrong road, get them out of your brain. Let me give you a little secret here. And that is, you can't make a thought get out of your head. You can only force it out with a greater thought. You can sit here all day long and say, well, I shouldn't be worrying. I know I shouldn't be worrying. But don't worry. Stop it. Like, what? You'll just keep worrying. But let me say this. If you find a scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19, God shall supply my need according to his riches in glory. When I get worried about money, when I get worried about provision, I find a scripture and I don't take thoughts out, I crowd them out. Let me just tell you, when you put the word in, everything else runs. Because the devil's thoughts are more powerful than my thoughts, but God's word is more powerful than the devil's thoughts. If you're dealing with lust, if you're dealing with fear, find scriptures, find what you need. This little booklet that I wrote here, at the end of this booklet, it actually gives you the scriptures. At the end here, lust and immorality, there's four scriptures that I list there to meditate on. Worry and anxiety, fear, anger and unforgiveness, discouragement, condemnation, insecurity, marriage problems, pride, financial issues. Read what you need. When you're going, the reason this Bible is such a thick book is it has all the information that you need. Whatever you're going through, there's something in here that you can find to reprogram your minds. And I want to say just a couple more things. The first is the mind is the main battlefield. The second is the Word of God is our greatest spiritual weapon. The devil's not afraid of your thoughts. He's not afraid of Sigmund Freud. He's not afraid of humanistic type of thoughts. That doesn't bother him. He's terrified of the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is Ephesians 6:14. Standing therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All of that is allegorical of the Word of God. Helmet of salvation. Think like a saved person. When you read the Bible and when you study the Bible, you start thinking like a saved person and you become free. You're free from the deception that leaves people in bondage. Listen to this one. Having your loins girded with truth. Well, what does that mean? That's where you put your sword. If you've ever seen like a Roman soldier, they put a belt around their loins and they put their sword there. Listen, this area of your body is for reproduction and elimination. When you're walking according to the Word of God, you reproduce good and eliminate evil. When you're walking according to error, you reproduce bad and eliminate good. You gird your loins with the truth and you take the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon that we have. When Jesus was attacked by the devil in the wilderness after 40 days of not eating, Jesus said, "It is written. It is written. It is written," quoted three scriptures, and the devil himself fled away. He's not afraid of anything we've got except for the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the Word of God. And when the devil shows up, you pull out the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God, and he will flee from you. There's nothing he will do for you that you don't have a weapon to fight him against. But I'm telling you, we are under siege every single day. Several years ago, it was Karen and I's, I think it was our 30th wedding anniversary, we went to Hawaii. And I was just busy and just, you know, ready to go to Hawaii. And we got on this airplane going to Hawaii, and I just picture the beaches and the water and all this beautiful place. And I got on this airplane to go to Hawaii, and I'm just telling you, when I got on there, it was just this battle in my mind for worry and fear. And Karen, and I even leaned over to Karen during the flight, and I said, "You probably know that I'm, you know, struggling," and I am. You know, there's just worry and fear in my mind. You know what I found out? The devil never takes a vacation. He's going to get a real long one down there someday. You can't take a vacation from the devil. In fact, a lot of the worst problems that we get ourselves into is thinking that we can't. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can defeat him, and that's the only way you'll ever live at rest. You can't run from him, but you can beat him. And every single day when you wake up and you get the Word of God, you take time every day to get in the Word of God. And one more scripture, and I will close. And this is Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The promise that if we meditate in the Word of God day and night, everything that we do will prosper. Now, let me say this. I'm not trying to sell books. We sell thousands of these all over America. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to sell books. It teaches you in here how to meditate. It's real easy. There are four times of the day that our minds are most contemplative, and that's when we're most open to the attacks of the enemy. When we're laying in bed in the morning, when we're laying in bed at night, when we're sitting around our house not doing anything, and we're on our way somewhere not doing anything. That's when your mind goes into a contemplative state, and that when you're busy, you don't have trouble. But when you're contemplative, that's when the devil attacks your mind. That's when you have to load your mind with the Word of God. I've never had a problem going to sleep. I mean, when my head hits the pillow, I'm gone. But I wake up every night at 2 or 3 in the morning. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll either worry for an hour or two, or I'll pray and worship for a while. But here's what I find. If I have my mind loaded with Scripture and I'm ready for the devil, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll have 20 or 30, 40 minutes of laying there in bed, worshiping and praying and meditating, and I'll go back to sleep peacefully and wake up peacefully. If I don't, I'll lay there for an hour or two worrying and wake up exhausted every day, because the devil never takes the day off. And I'm saying this. I'm not totally redeemed. I'm not pretending to be, but I'll say this. Jesus saved me and established a beachhead in my life 36 years ago. And since then, day by day, as I've allowed Him, He's redeemed more and more of my life, and I'm a different person than I used to be. I'm still facing battles, but they're not the same battles that I was facing before, and I'm able to live freely knowing that my mind has been redeemed and renewed by the Word of God. You're the gatekeeper of your mind. No one can do it for you. You have to take responsibility for every thought and scrutinize every thought. And if you don't take it captive, it'll take you captive. But if you take it captive and make it submit to Jesus Christ and the Word of God, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Thank you for listening. This is the conclusion of the series, How to Think When Life Stinks, by Jimmy Evans. For more information or additional resources by Jimmy Evans, visit the Marriage Today website at marriagetoday.com.